Welcome to the Officer Media Group Roll Call Podcast. Officer Roll Call is meant to inform and entertain. Now, let's get into this episode.
Welcome, this is Paul Pelucito, the editor of Officer Magazine, and this is the latest episode of the Officer Roll Call Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by Frank Borelli, the editorial director of Officer Media Group. How's it going today, Frank?
Going pretty good, sir. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. We're getting into the spring here finally. It's warming up down here in Florida, and I know it's still a little chilly up there in Maryland.
You know, it's not snowing and it's not frozen, so I'll take it. Grass is starting to actually turn green a little bit.
Nice. So today we're going to be talking about apparel and specifically uniforms and different trends that are being observed out there. A lot of these, we're going to touch on three different articles that we've ran in Officer Magazine, all coming from the Network Association of Uniform Manufacturers and Distributors. We have a really good relationship with them, that they contribute content. And each year they run their Best Dressed Public Safety Awards, which come out around the summertime. And that's definitely something for everybody that's listening to, check out. Go to NAUMD.com. It's NAUMD.com. And, you know, they're a really good resource to be able to see some of the different trends, some of the manufacturers that they that are partners with them, and basically some of the those new things. Because, you know, Frank, as I'll ask you, what's really changed with uniforms from, you know, even 10, 20 years ago? And, you know, what are we seeing today that agencies have to keep in mind when purchasing new ones?
So I think if you took a step back and took a holistic look at it, what you would find is the uniforms themselves, certainly there have been innovations. I know we're going to talk about some of them, but and the materials, everybody has a new material or a new spin, the flex fabric, whatever it is. And I'm not downplaying that at all. But really, when you look at the biggest changes in uniform, it's almost wear policy and protocol. You know, certainly you have agencies out here that still have a Class A uniform that they wear for day shift and for court. And then for evenings and midnights and special assignments, they have a Class B or a utility uniform. But what we're seeing, to me, that's really going to drive uniform evolution is the acceptance of a Class B uniform for day shift and on patrol. And it's becoming a more comfortable, utilitarian, practical uniform day to day. People, the administrators and the communities have started to realize that the officers on the street don't need to look like they're going to a formal event to go pull traffic or to arrest a crackhead or to answer a call for an assault or a robbery or whatever. What they really need is the functional, practical, utilitarian, have all their gear, who cares if they have a tie as part of their uniform. That outlook is what's really going to drive the change in what we see on the street. But, you know, behind the scenes, I don't have enough design and engineering knowledge to, because there's so many different fabrics now, the different designs, they're certainly evolving, but I don't know how detailed I could get in what's good and bad about them other than I know what I like and what I don't.
Yeah, I mean, that exactly, Frank. So when you look at the transition here, it's almost same thing when you think about athletic gear. Something that, you know, we would have worn in the 90s, maybe a heavier cotton t-shirt or, heavier basketball shorts or sweatpants, whatever it might be. And then, you know, the evolution there that you went to, fabrics that stretch, moisture wicking fabrics, different things, much lighter fabrics. And that's kind of the same thing that you're seeing here with the evolution of law enforcement uniforms. I would imagine that these uniforms are much easier to run in than they used to be, right?
Oh, yeah. When you think about it, and that's where I was talking about the practical and the utilitarian. 20 years ago, your all your Class A's, all your dress uniforms, everything the majority of people were wearing, you had to, they were dry clean only. And they were expensive. I mean, you talk about a pair of uniform pants be $150, $160. They were dry clean only. And if you, you know, tackled a fleeing suspect and you tore them, they were trash. You had to go get another pair. Now, that's not to say that if you're wearing utility blues and you tackle a suspect and they get torn, that they're not going to be trash, but they're no longer, it's not a $160 pair of pants either. It's, you know, $35, $40, $50 pair of pants. So there's a, definitely a budgetary practicality here as well. But yeah, the uniforms and materials, like I was saying, excuse me, with the, when you look at the flex fabrics that are coming out now, just a standard utility uniform with the flex fabric with design features that the mechanical stretch, extra room where you need your body to move versus just straight cut, limited dimensions. Those kind of evolutions are really empowering officers on the street in two ways. Number one, for performance, but number two, for comfort. And I think in one of the articles we're going to talk about, they actually mention how comfort does play a role in recruiting and retention. And we all know that's one of the biggest problems in law enforcement today. So it all plays together.
Yeah, the first article we're going to talk about is slated to appear in the March-April issue of Officer Magazine. So this will come out next month. And it's from Rick Levine, the executive director of NAMED. And in it, you know, he focuses specifically on uniforms for law enforcement. He highlights some of the past winners of the Best Dressed Awards and also some of the innovations out there. So, you know, in a section in here titled The Evolution of Law Enforcement Uniforms, he talks about how polyester and cotton blends, moisture wicking fabrics, ripstop materials, and stretch fabrics have contributed to a new revolution in law enforcement uniform design. And that really, you know, these materials, like you said, Frank, I also don't have enough background to understand, you know, the science behind it, but that's exactly what has happened here. That new sciences have allowed, or new scientific advances have allowed these materials to exist and to be able to create uniforms out of. So I think that's, you know, this is only a good thing. Do you see any downsides to using these fabrics? Yeah, overall, it just seems like a plus.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a downside, really. I think there's a challenge in that a lot of the older administrators, you know, we all have a problem with change. We have the values and the belief structure and the protocols that we grew up with, so to speak. And sometimes we have a hard time adjusting that. And I mean, take it beyond apparel, the outlook on tattoos, the outlook on beards, things have changed in law enforcement. And the chief that started 35, 40 years ago might have a hard time embracing it happily, shall we say. But they really need to take a step back and take a look and see the values and understand that it goes beyond cost. It goes beyond appearance. I like the one quote in this article from David Burnett, vice president of sales for Albico, which is a uniform company, if people don't know. He says, "We're seeing a shift towards prioritizing employee satisfaction and flexibility, recognizing that traditional standards may not align with the expectations of today's workforce." And that's a long way of saying we have to take into consideration what the officers we're hiring and want and expect when they come to work. And I think that's going to, like I said, I think that's what's going to drive a lot of the evolution.
So the next article I want to talk about is from the September-October issue of Officer Magazine that Rick Levine also wrote this one for us. And it's innovations to serve and protect, new trends in duty gear. So he covered a little bit of you know, uniform stuff here, but also like how the gear that's worn on top of those uniforms, the duty belts and the vests and everything that goes along with it, and basically how a lot of that's developed and how a lot of these manufacturers have you know, created a culture of collaboration with law enforcement professionals to be able to design these. How have you seen, you know, these the different accessories and the gear that's worn on the uniforms, how have you seen them change? And how have you observed this collaboration? When we go to shows, we, you know, we're able to talk to a lot of these different manufacturers and really, you know, get insight into what they do. And by them interacting with other people, with law enforcement professionals at the show, they also, you know, I'm sure take away a lot of stuff from that.
So I think, you know, with this is a trend we've been seeing across the last 10, 20 years, where we're moving equipment off of a duty belt and onto a load-bearing vest, which also is the armor carrier, right? Worn externally. And this is a healthier approach. It puts less pressure on the lower back. It puts less pressure on the pelvic girdle. When you're looking at 20, 30-year career, in the long run, it's less of a health impact, and you have far fewer disabilities. So that's number one. Number two, putting the gear onto the vest really makes things easier to reach. We shouldn't have anything in the small of our back. So where we used to put handcuffs or gloves or a baton or a flashlight, whatever, all of this now is being relocated to the front of the body. So from the hips forward, shoulders down, it's all in there somewhere, which, you know, when you look at the design of the human body, the ergonomics, we're not made to reach behind ourselves to pull something off the back of a belt. Having everything in the front of our body makes it easier to access. And Lord knows we're carrying more than we ever have. I mean, not to give away my age, but when I first came on the street, we carried a handgun. Yeah, I'm going to say speed loaders, although it wasn't long before we transitioned to semi-autos and magazines, but I had a revolver and two speed loaders. You know, a nightstick, a flashlight, and both of those were 26 inches long, right? And the mag light was heavy as heck. Two pairs of handcuffs and a radio that weighed 2.5 pounds. There was no body camera. There was no OC spray. There was no EMDs. It was a different world, and we've come a long way. But we're gonna keep evolving. Right, we're gonna keep going that way and figure out how to carry what we need to carry and make sure it's accessible in the emergency situations when we need it.
So one other thing, the last thing I want to touch on in this article, Frank, Rick talks about is kind of the transition in belts. How you know, law enforcement or the manufacturers especially have moved away from those bulkier 4-row stitch leather belts to a more streamlined 1.5 inch leather belt for wearing BDUs and polos. And I mean, how have you seen the belts themselves change, and kind of what was always your go-to?
Well, so the belts have changed in material. I mean, they used to be a 2.5 inch wide thick leather belt that would never, you know, if you broke it in, it took you 5 years to do it. And until then, it was breaking you in, and it was very uncomfortable. You know, today now we see a lot more synthetics and or nylon. We're seeing belts that are pre-curved to fit the waistline, so you have less of a dig, again, on your hips and into the skin around your waist. We see different buckling mechanisms. We see different equipment attachment mechanisms. All of this is evolving together as a package, and that's absolutely a good thing. My go-to, honestly, was always whatever I was issued. And then when I got to start picking my own, I was always a fan of Blackhawk's products. Their holsters, as many people will argue with me about the SERPA line, that duty line of holsters, I've always been a big believer in them and have appreciated them. Their new T-Series does well. Safariland has, a 50-year history of producing just great holsters, and they're used in so many places. I've certainly used plenty of them. You know, it's go-to really today is it's not a single manufacturer. It's this duty belt. It's that guy's holster. It's this person's flashlight. It's that flashlight carrier or holster. You know, you've got OC spray that you get issued. Where you're carrying it, it's that person's pouch. You almost pick and choose and build it if you really have been in it long enough. Otherwise, you're pretty much using what you're issued until you get permission to pay for your own and do something else.
So the last article we'll talk about, Frank, is one more from NAMED here. It's from actually last year, from our March-April issue, so almost exactly from a year ago, and it was entitled 2023 Uniform Trends. So this is kind of what they saw happening last year going into this year, and this one was written by Jackie Roselli with NAMED. And she touches on a lot of different trends, a few different manufacturers, including Flying Cross and 5-Eleven, and basically what they were seeing when it came to what manufacturers were focusing on when it came to their uniforms, including, like we talked about, comfort, and how you know, comfort is something that they're focusing on. I'd imagine even more than it once was. Like you said, a lot of those uniforms would be a little uncomfortable, and it is something that they're placing a lot of you know, effort into. And so when we talk about that, why is it, because for the manufacturer, it gives them a leg up on the competition, where there probably weren't as many manufacturers out there, you know, even you look 20, 30 years ago, and now there's so much competition. Is that something, you know, agencies want the most comfortable uniform for their officers?
Well, you know, as we discussed earlier, comfort also plays a role in officer satisfaction, for lack of a better word. You know, the fabrics continue to evolve, the designs continue to evolve. You get the difference of specialty uniforms for like bicycle patrol officers versus SWAT officers versus harbor patrol guys, or, you know, regular everyday patrol. The evolution's really going to continue driven by what the manufacturers get in feedback. What's the need from the people on the street? What have they seen? We've got a lot of people in the industry today, apparel and uniforms and armor, duty gear, that have a history in either law enforcement or in the military. And, you know, we don't want to militarize the police, but a SWAT team has pretty much the same needs as a military small unit, a squad. You're doing building clearings is doing building clearings, just different tactics. But you still need to be able to move. You still need the same protection. You still need the same flexibility, utility, blah, blah, blah. So I think we're going to see that this evolution continue. The materials, I got to tell you, to me, the biggest thing in the world is the way they're cut, the way they're designed now. So you have the extra room you need where you need it, the mechanical flex we're getting, and the water resistance. So, I mean, if you can imagine sitting in a cruiser and you spill, you know, a cup of water on yourself or whatever, now immediately you're soaked through to your skin, you're going to have a miserable day until you get a chance to go change out everything from the skin out. Now, so many of these uniforms, you could spill a gallon of water over somebody's back and they'd shake off, and you're still fine. I mean, I'm not going to say they're waterproof, but the water resistance and ability to just shake it off is amazing. These major companies out here, like we're talking about Flying Cross, 5-Eleven, Blauer, Albico, Fleischheimer's, they're all Verdicts. They're all making the innovations, and the competition between them is going to continue to benefit the people who got to wear the uniforms.
So Jackie, you know, talks about 5-Eleven's Strike PDU uniforms, how they, you know, can continue to be one of the leaders there, one of the most popular, but then also talks about how 5-Eleven's VXI XTU uniforms, which were released at last SHOT Show, so SHOT Show 2023, mm-hmm. And how that, you know, is kind of leading the way into that new look and that new design of a lot of these new uniforms. And so you were there at that SHOT Show, Frank, as you were at this SHOT Show, and you also did one of our officer labs on the 5-Eleven's XTU uniform, which is our review program. The Officer Labs program. Can you talk a little about what you saw in 511's new uniform and some of the benefits to it.
So the VXI XTU is a purpose designed uniform set, pants, shirt, outer shirt. And if you look at online, you'll see photos of it. You see knee pads, you see cargo pockets that look a little bit different. The material is a little bit different. The fit is a little bit different. I did field test these. And in fact, when I went to SHOT Show this year, I took the knee pads out. Now, if you look at them, it's a three-layered knee pad. You have a hard shell on the outside that comes off, but it doesn't just fall off. It takes some work to get it off. Then there's a neoprene synthetic pad behind that. And then there's actually padding stitched into the knees of these pants. And then there's adjustable straps in the cargo pockets to hold them at the height you want them to be, and a strap around the back of the knee to keep it as snug or as loose as you want it to be. So all kinds of adjustability. For officers that are doing any kind of special operations, you never know when you're going to get on the knee. You know, it might be in any kind of setting. I know a gentleman who had to take a knee at the top of a stairwell, and there was broken glass, and he ended up lacerating his knee through his uniform. And if he'd had on knee pads, that wouldn't have happened. But even the cargo pockets, where they're farther around the front of the thigh rather than on the sides, which means you get better access if you're wearing a drop leg platform for anything. The zipper, interestingly, is actually a two-way zipper. You can zip it up or down, which can make a difference if you got to relieve the need in the field. They have the blouse cuffs at the bottom, the ties. They are a very well-designed uniform. The shirt is a combat-type shirt where you have the performance material and the torso, and then the hook and loop platform, patches, places on the shoulders, the collar. It is 100% designed from the ground up as a special operations or tactical unit uniform, and very, very comfortable to wear. Like I said, I took the hard shell knee pads and the neoprene padding out of the knees, and I wore my pair of XTU pants to range day. And while other people were hesitating to kneel and looking at what was on the concrete or what was on the dirt or if they were in rocks, I didn't have that problem. Because I already had knee pads that were still sewn into the pants. Just a fantastic design. The whole water repellent thing that I talked about before as well, that they hit a home run with them.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah, I think this has been a pretty good conversation. Anybody listening out there that wants to get more insight into uniforms and apparel, can check us out at officer.com and go to our On the Street section. We have a lot in there. And of course, also check out the recent issues of Officer Magazine. The digital edition is on the website, and you can look at all the articles, and we always have a couple apparel focused articles in each issue. So if anybody has any questions, of course, as always, or suggestions, reach out to us at editors@officer.com. Is there anything you want to add before we log off, Frank?
Nope. Just want everybody, as always, to stay safe.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Officer Roll Call. Be sure to check back every 2 weeks for a new episode. Stay safe.